council, to be clear, interprets the rules. And
I understand that, but I'm not sure that the council by statute can at any meeting convene itself as the budget committee, and that's what we'll have to look into. Just by merely by a motion of the council to convene as the budget committee.
It is my intent to do that.
So. I understand that's your intent, and that's what we'll have to look into as to whether that's appropriate procedure.
He's a member of the majority in the sense of the overall.
Okay, thanks.
The other issue I would like to raise is that we are required to submit our approved budget to TSCC by May 15th. We have an extension to May 18th, but we will need to file the budget that's been approved today with TSCC this week.
That may be, but we're a governing body, and I reserve the right to be able to amend the budget at any point before or after that. And that's, I don't believe any interpretation of the state statute would deny an elected member to amend the budget, notwithstanding whether TSCC has looked at it or not.
Can I ask a different question?
Yes.
Are pursuing the same ends, just to council can amend the at if so this is sort of if this doesn't work sort of scenario, council can amend the adopted budget. Can amend the approved budget mm-hmm. prior to adopting it.
Correct.
Okay.
Within a limit of changing the budget by 10%, which is not an issue here, I don't think.
So
any fund.
Okay, and so at a minimum, at the time that we're appointed to adopt this, we could at least amend it. Council could consider amending it at that time.
Yes.
Up to and including next week if the council wanted to.
I don't know the answer to that, Commissioner.
I mean, notwithstanding, I'm not talking about the reconsideration, but if one person were to come forward with a proposal to say, I want to amend it to do X.
My understanding, and I'll have to check again and discuss it with the city attorney, but my understanding is that once the budget committee, which the council is sitting as here now, once the budget committee approves the budget and we transmit it to the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission, that is the budget that they consider or that they review and that they hold open for public hearing, and that any amendment that the council might want to consider between the approval and the adopted would not change the budget that is being considered and being held open for public review by the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission under the terms of state law. Now, I'll have to confirm that over the intervening days.
I don't think this would this would fall outside the parameters of the 10%.
No, it would not.
Yeah.
So at least council consider, if can't sooner, council at least can consider an additional request proposal to fund the street sweeping at the time of considering the adopted budget.
Yes, okay. That I do know.
But the concern I have,
no, I understand
that, is not all of us will be here at all the same time. So
on the 27th?
That's right.
Who's scheduled to be out on the 27th?
Commissioner Leonard.
Yeah, okay. Just for maybe the sake of avoiding all these parliamentary research.
Mm-hmm.
As I stated, my concern primarily about the effort right now is the issue about also the $800,000 for the match for Park Block 5. I mean, if this council today wants to approve both those measures, subject to the precautions that Ken Russ gave us, that, you know, at the fall bump, we need to replenish contingency.
Second.
Well, there has to be a strong commitment that in the fall bump we're going to replenish the contingency proper level.
Totally committed to that. And I wouldn't be attempting this extraordinary move if I wasn't going to be gone out of the country. But I apologize for the floundering it's causing, but I really feel I need to preserve my right to vote.
Then I'll move that we approve this $670,000 or $640,000.
It was $670,000.
$670,000 to restore C3.
Can we do that?
I'm going to have to ask
You can suspend the rules and
you're going to have to go through a series of steps now. You're going to, because you've already approved the budget with amendments.
But I sure, can't we reconsider?
You'll have to reopen that. Mm-hmm. Then you'll have to take additional amendments and then approve as with the supplementary amendments. That's the steps that you're going to have to
go through at this
point in time.
You don't suspend the rules,
Ben? What's that?
You don't have to suspend the rules?
Well, the steps that you'll have to go through is you've approved the budget with amendments. You'll have to move to reconsider that.
Okay.
And then having done that with the vote, then you can consider the additional amendment.
Take us through one step.
Approve
what's
it.
What's okay. The first thing?
Move to reconsider.
Move to reconsider.
I move to reconsider the adoption of the budget.
Second.
Approval. Excuse me. Thank you.
Budget. All right. Then now you'll need a vote on the reconsideration.
Call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
No.
Now make the amendment.
Now you can move the amendment.
Okay. I would move that we appropriate from contingency $670,000 to for street sweeping and $800,000 for the match for the private donor for Park Block 5, and the council commits itself to replenish the contingency at the fall pump.
Second.
I believe it would be cleaner if those were to be taken as separate amendments rather than as one amendment.
Which piece? The replenish separate from that?
As I understood your amendment, there was an amendment for the street sweeping, an amendment for Park Block 5.
And then also a directive that we would replenish in the fall bump the contingency fund.
That's not a budget committee action.
I mean, I can make those three motions if you want.
Yeah. When we get to the one about replenishing the contingency, I'd like to speak to it. But if you want to walk through the other ones, well.
You want?
Yes.
Separate motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
first of all, I would move to approve $800,000 from contingency for the Park Block 5 match.
Second.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
No.
Second motion is to approve $670,000 from contingency for restoring street sweeping services.
It's 670.
Second.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
No.
My third motion would be the council commits itself at the fall bump to replenish the contingency to $3.8 million.
Second.
If I might just comment on that, I think two things. One would be, I think that this would be most appropriate as a budget note because you're not taking action on the budget itself because there isn't money to put in there. So if you wanted to make it that way. The other is just to clarify that this is contingent on funds being available in the fall bump, which there's no guarantee of that.
Yeah, we understand that.
We know that.
Well, I think my motion could be a budget note and the council commits itself by this vote to replenish contingency to $3.8 million by the fall.
And I agree to that change in the motion as the second.
And we will craft that language and it will be available to you for the adopted budget for you to review.
Does it have to be a motion?
It's amending one of the exhibits that we went through. It's amending attachment E, which has all the budget notes. They're council's budget notes, so you need to be the ones to move them and approve them.
Call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
And now you'll need to readopt or reapprove the budget as amended with these additional amendments.
So move.
Second.
Call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Now we're on item number 10 of your list.
The city attorney's office can stand down.
I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the tax levies. The proposed language reads, the city shall levy its full permanent rate of $4 5.5770 per $1,000 of assessed value, and $7,624,682 for the payment of voter-approved general obligation bond principal and interest, and $95,365,463 for the obligations for the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund, and 0.4026 per 1,000 of assessed value for the Children's Levy, and 3.39 per 1,000 of assessed value for the Parks Levy.
So moved. So do those numbers reflect the amendments that happened today?
There is no effect.
There is no effect on that?
No.
Okay.
Second?
Yes.
Call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman. Potter.
Aye. Budget Committee session is now adjourned. Please read the 10:30 time certain.
And that is 5:31. Accept the report on Red Electric Trail Planning Study.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. It's exciting to bring this report to council and to have all my colleagues up here as co-sponsors of this important work. It shows our community the commitment that we have to providing sustainable transportation options and continually improving recreational opportunities for the public. With the acceptance of this report, parks can begin partnering with other governments and nonprofits to acquire the land and right-of-way needed for this important Southwest Portland trail route. Parkland acquisition has been a guiding tenet during my stewardship of Portland Parks and Recreation, and this report will allow a redoubling of this effort in Southwest Portland. One part of this report I'm particularly proud of is the public involvement approach that Parks and Recreation took in compiling the study. Much of the old railroad right-of-way that was once used by Red Electric trains had long since reverted to private ownership or to street right-of-way. Because of this, an extensive part of the planning process was spent meeting with the immediate neighbors along various route options, identifying their issues and concerns, and hearing their suggestions. The process was repeated over and over and over until all immediate neighbors had been heard and the report was ready for further analysis by the staff and the public. And one other exciting development that occurred last year was the passage of the Metro Natural Areas Bond Measure. The Red Electric Trail is a segment of the Fano Creek Greenway Trail, and Fano Creek is a regional target area of the 2006 bond measure. So it's possible that funds for property acquisition from willing sellers may be available to our use. I'd also like to thank the Portland Office of Transportation staff, who've been an integral part of the study team. Park staff count on their help with the innovative design of the trail, both on and off streets. And then thanks to trail planner Greg Everhart, who led the effort, and all the citizens, trail advocates, bike and alternative transportation advocates, interested Portlanders who helped make this report a reality. We have a short presentation by staff on the details of this report, and then I know we have several people here who would like to testify. So turn it over to Janet Bibb first. Okay.
Thank you. I'm Janet Bibb, a strategic project manager for Portland Parks. I'm happy to be here with you today. It has been a primary bureau goal to finish the 40-mile loop trail system. And part of our Parks 2020 vision plan lays the groundwork with this, working with citizens. They said trails were very important, one of the four primary objectives of that plan, indicating specifically that one objective is to create an interconnected regional and local system of trails, paths, and walks to make Portland the walking city of the West. In June 06, we presented an overall trail strategy to you that indicated 220 miles of regional trails, and 146 of those are completed already. This is another piece of the puzzle that we'll be describing to you today. Generally, in Southwest Portland, there are four regional trails, Willamette Greenway, Markham, Terwilliger, and part of the Hillsdale to Lake Oswego. Generally, they run north and south. Red Electric takes on the challenge of how to get people east and west, connecting the Fano Creek to the Willamette River. As Commissioner Salzman indicated, The Red Electric Trail planning study was controversial. While many Southwest residents welcomed the alternative to the automobile that this trail system would provide, other homeowners felt that there would be impacts to their property that they were reluctant to approve, and that it would be a poor use of city funds for this purpose. Our research at state and local level suggests that there are incredible benefits for both in individual health and in environmental health in the trail system. And it's our hope if we are able to move forward and we find funding for individual phases of the Red Electric to address those individual concerns on a property-by-property basis and make it as comfortable a fit as possible. I'd like to introduce Greg Everhart, landscape architect and trail planner, who's done a great job on this study, and she'll present briefly the study to you.
Janet always says briefly because there's a lot of detail here, but I am going to try, because we're starting so late, to be as quick as possible. The first issue is why trails, and that touch back to the recreational trails plan and then through the actual bit of the study. The first thing we heard from neighbors when we started our outreach was, why trails? A lot of the people that we talked to didn't have trails anywhere near them. They weren't aware that this is a key part of what Parks does. But what's wonderful about trails is that everyone can use them. And they're not only relaxing and healthful, but they help us get to school, work, and shop, neighbors, whatever. This is a repeat from the trail strategy presentation. But I wanted to emphasize that it's actually really important that the trails also be close to home if they're going to be used as frequently as possible. And indeed, we have a higher use locally than the state does of trails. I don't know. Yes. That the graph is just the percentage of people in different forms of outdoor recreation.
Oh, okay.
Walking and running for exercise or walking for pleasure.
Recreation.
Way higher than anything else.
So it wasn't I thought it was a graph on trail usage of commuting versus recreation, but it's not. So.
No, no one's done that kind of sampling. Oops. So this is the map that was the end result of the trail priority studies in the trail strategy. The green is what you can go on. The red is what you can't. And then if we zoom down into Southwest, you see the trails that Janet mentioned. Willamette Greenway paralleling the river, Terwilliger, and then Markham up towards the north. This is the only east-west trail, and seeing it there in that blue and green kind of highlights how different it is and how much more of Southwest would have access. It does have a history, decades of being on the plans. We'll have Mel Huey here from Metro to talk about regional trails in the Metro plan. It also is in the Southwest Urban Trail Walking Plan. Don Bach's here to address that today. It's color-coded red, might note. And then most recently, Transportation Parks and our fellow jurisdictions, with Metro's help, did an update called the Fano Creek Greenway Trail Action Plan. And you'll notice that in Portland, there's actually three parallel routes, only of one of which has anything done. That is actually the bike route towards the south. But if we can complete either the Southwest Walking Trail route, which is the center line, or the multimodal Red Electric, which is the top line, we actually will then have access to all the Fano Creek Greenway Trail that the city of Beaverton, Tigard, Washington County, and Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation have already been building over the past 20 years. Public involvement was intense. We talked primarily to immediate neighbors and landowners for about 6 months. Those landowners that we first started with selected many or recommended many new routes, so then we talked to the neighbors to those routes. We did walking tours, and then we got back to everybody sort of by geographic area. In June, we started with a larger public, and by the fall, we actually gave final conclusions. These from the neighborhood sort of immediate residents are the main concerns. Some of the trail is actually on public right-of-way. It's a matter of upgrading and adding more improvements to the streets. people have concerns even in the street right-of-way that there will be change. So you may hear some of that comment today. We did have a supportive comment overall by the time we were done. There's a lot of need in Southwest for places to walk and ride safely. And this is how we made our choices, these particular criteria of meeting the needs of everybody, the diversity, adjusting the trail to its surroundings, the context, trying to connect the potential segments in a logical way. And then most important is safety. Parks tries to have trails off street. That's not entirely possible in Southwest. Where we choose streets with fewer crossings or lower traffic and lower speed. This is one of those spaghetti maps with everything on it. The blue highlights are the ones that we excluded pretty rapidly just because of the sheer number or speed of the vehicles. We had to, with the help of the Office of Transportation, study some other ways to accommodate pedestrians in these streets that we could still then connect to our regular off-street trail. And then we sort of had the slimmed-down map where these different trail types would possibly be allocated. Come the final open house, we had this map, and it's really important to show this as well as what we're now recommending, because since that public open house, we have made some changes. This is the legend, so I don't have to explain each of these. It's your map A1 in the report. But green is an existing trail. Anything that's dotted or dashed is a proposed trail. Where we can get off street, it's colored in purple. Blue is a bike lane, red is a sidewalk. And if the bikes can actually be safely accommodated in the street without a bike lane, we use gray. So here's how it looks outside the city. And the great news here is that Olson Road is going to get bike lanes and sidewalks by the end of this year. So that will bring those citizens to our boundary. Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation with Washington County and the City of Beaverton did update their trail plan, and they chose these particular routes as neighborhood trails to get additional improvements over time. Here at the West is our best opportunity for fully off-street trails. It's a wonderful area because of the recreational facilities already existing at Alpenrose, the playground and fields at Pendleton Park, as well as Hayhurst Elementary School. This is actually original Red Electric route. The rails were pulled, it became street right-of-way, and in some places it never got developed as a street. You move east, continuing on Cullen rather than Fairvale, because of some of the right-of-way that was lost when the railroad pulled out. It became lots and now has houses on it. So we just figured that we would do less acquisition, less disturbance in that area. We do have another potential for off-street segment. Part of this has been subdivided and there's existing right-of-way, but there's a significant acquisition that could be a real challenge at the end of Bertha. Bertha itself, where you see the solid gray line, this is an existing street that was built in place of the Red Electric tracks. It actually curved down, followed it all the way down to Barber. This is where we get into the options, and I didn't explain that options are still kind of positive things, alternates, or maybe the version that doesn't meet our need as well. But the Office of Transportation would really like to see more streets improved, so they like the sidewalks and road improvements at 25th and Nebraska. The neighborhood, however, would really like to see us be over nearer the Hillsdale Town Center. And because we've changed a recommended route east of this area, we actually, I think, have the possibility to someday, with option 4, get additional off-street trail. This depends on that intersection, which is really irregular, being reconfigured. I'm highlighting this because it's not a recommended route anymore. This is what we had after the final public open house. And the work of a newer group within the Office of Transportation has been gathering and analyzing data about where bikes, pedestrians, and cars have accidents. And they convinced us, basically, to not use Capitol Highway, even though it is pretty nearly fully improved. I do hope that someday council will find the wherewithal to improve that last bit of sidewalk that would link the town center to Terwilliger. But Parks, by withdrawing this, would not be seeking funds to make that improvement. We also withdraw an option which went around the north side of Wilson High School, because if you're not using Capitol Highway, you can't get to that piece of Burlingame. Instead, our new recommended route, that yellow highlighted route, comes to the south side of the middle school and high school. An unusual acute angled intersection. I've been out there with the engineers to see that we can make a safe crossing there. And then we'll actually separate the pedestrians. We propose to put them on an existing trail in George Himes Park, George Himes Trail and Markham Trail, and take the cyclists on Nebraska. It's actually a city street that's currently developed between the two parts of that natural area. And you get a great view of Mount Hood, and then you slope down the hill on a little cul-de-sac called Park Hill. This is an addition I was directed to make Monday, and you'll hear citizens' comment in support of it. I didn't have time to put it on the map in the same format, but there's support to actually use that same route down Park Hill and through the park for bikes and peds, but when the bridge at Southwest Barber is replaced, there would be enhanced bike and ped facilities, and that would allow us to rebuild part of Slavin that was lost when improvements to the freeway and Barber were undertaken. It's not a great solution to the Red Electric because it takes you so much longer to finally get back to the Greenway, but it would really enhance the connections between Hillsdale and the north part of South Portland neighborhood. Last part is just something that remains the same. This Bertha and Barber is former Red Electric route, and with some land acquisition and improvements to Taylor's Ferry Road, we'd still get to the Willamette Greenway, but we'd be at the south end of Willamette Park. You've been talking about money this morning. I hate to talk about something that adds up to $16 million, but we do feel that, you know, we've secured $9 million for trails in the past 6 years. And with the cooperation from the Office of Transportation, we can move small segments of this and build it bit by bit. Now, we did, as we talked to the neighborhood, reinforce with them that we have some other priorities that are sort of pre-existing and perhaps earlier in the system of trying to get funding. But we have a real asset here with the Metro bond because Trail Strategy directed us to proceed with acquisition, get the easements for the lands needed for trails. And Red Electric is part of the Fano Creek Greenway. We've got a wonderful two now available to secure and start this trail. So our conclusions are that this east-west trail would be a real asset to the entire community, particularly southwest. We'd like Transportation Bureau to consider adding them to their official plans. And we may delay building parts of it, but we will certainly consider it for funding. And I've now got Courtney Duke, who was our lead person from the Office of Transportation.
Council, Mayor, I'm Courtney Duke, Senior Transportation Planner for the Office of Transportation. At the time of the project, I was the city's pedestrian coordinator and project manager for PDOT. PDOT was very pleased to partner with Parks and Rec on this project and had a great time working on it as well. Over 10 Office of Transportation staff worked on this project, including myself. We worked on analysis of existing and proposed bike and sidewalk improvements. We looked at freight and transit routes. We did the cost estimates for the future trail construction, our engineering department. We were very involved with the public involvement at the neighborhood meetings and public presentations. Our traffic group did traffic counts as well as safety analysis, including trail crossings, both of local streets and other trails. We worked on the trail design and analysis, as Greg said, the different types of trail types that we could use. We looked at the trail alignment. We worked with our policy section to work at policy review and analysis. We did research on the existing right-of-way as well as any easements that are available or that we could get in the area, and of course worked on the document and did document review with Greg. Just to touch on the safety aspect that Greg mentioned, although our traffic safety team didn't originally participate in the research or public review, they were able to look at the January 06 report that Greg put out. our research on crash history and our safety group has really increased in the last few years. We were really able to identify some additional areas of concern. And as Greg mentioned, after a tour and discussion with our safety folks, Portland Park and Rec recommended that the trail be moved to Southwest Vermont from Capitol Highway. Even though this is a little bit steeper, it does reduce the number of vehicle crossings, and we think reduce the number of potential crashes that could occur. So we appreciate that that work that we did. So just in conclusion, there's a strong need and demand for improved streets in Southwest, as I'm sure you've heard throughout your budget process as well, particularly for sidewalks and bikeways. Making the improvements in this area for the whole route would provide much-needed safe routes to school, to Hillsdale, Reiki, Wilson. It will connect people of all ages to recreational facilities in the area. We'll provide a continuous east-west route that serves pedestrians and cyclists. And anything that can help reduce motor vehicle travel and congestion in the area is always an improvement, and we hope to have more walking and biking trips for those short trips to schools, stores, and neighbors, as Greg mentioned. We recognize that it may take several phases and years to get this in, but we look forward to helping Portland Parks implement the plan. And as Greg mentioned, we will, as a part of the next transportation system plan update, which is to start later this year, we will evaluate the routes to determine if there should be any street classification changes, especially the off-street path classifications, to reflect the route.
So, yeah, we don't have any invited testimony, so it's public testimony.
Yeah, the folks that the commissioner signed in. Oh, I'm sorry. We've got Mel Huey from Metro and Wendy Bell on behalf of all the folks west of our boundary line.
You want to start?
Sure. I'm Wendy Bell. I'm a park planner with Tualatin Hills Park and Rec District, and I'm currently the project manager for a 3,000 linear foot segment of the Fanner Creek Trail that runs through our district. When this is complete, we only have about a tenth of a mile left to completely connect all of the Fanner Creek Trail within our area. Our board and staff has been working on two regional projects recently as a priority to get those complete. As far as the existing over 3 miles of the Fanner Creek Trail we currently have, it's very heavily used by our patrons. It's very beneficial as a bike and pedestrian resource, particularly for those who reside alongside the trail. While I didn't personally participate in this study, I've been with the district about 8 months. My predecessors did, as well as representatives from the city of Beaverton and Washington County. Some of our citizens were a little concerned that Portland Parks was looking beyond their boundaries to connect up with our Garden Home Rec Center, but we made them understand that we supported and are working with Portland Parks in this endeavor. We're very excited that this connection at the west end of the Red Electric will connect our existing trail to Multnomah Boulevard, Portland's 40-mile loop, and also the West Willamette Greenway Trail. And we've included this potential connection in our recent update to our Trails Master Plan, which was updated last fall. We are also very excited that in the near future, a connection will be made from our existing trail to the Portland boundary by the work being done on Olson Road. There will be bike and pedestrian facilities that will be part of the improvements there. And although we understand that there are limited sources of funding and competing projects, we look forward to future projects being built at this end that will help complete this regionally important Greenway Trail. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mel Huey, Regional Trails Planner with Metro. And the Red Electric Corridor is an important section of the whole regional trail system. As Greg mentioned, it's part of the Fano Creek Greenway Trail, which will connect Portland all the way to Tualatin via Southwest Portland, Beaverton, Durham, and Tigard. And at the other end of this Fano Creek Trail is a bridge that was just completed in January. It's a bike pad bridge over the Tualatin River, built specifically for bikes and pedestrians, and they'll probably put a sewer pipe underneath the decking of that bridge. That's way to the southwest of this section. But I want to highlight that this section really makes Southwest Portland and the South Waterfront connect to the rest of the region via bike and sidewalks. Metro has participated on the Trail Action Plan and the study for the Red Electric Corridor. The funding came through MTIP, or transportation funding, through Metro. So we've been very pleased to see that you've brought the study forward to the City Council. I think you've done a great job. And we are supportive because, as mentioned earlier, the 2006 Metro Natural Areas Bond Measure will include funding for acquisition of right-of-way and or easements. Our program is a willing seller program. No one is ever forced to sell property or easements to Metro. We will work very closely with the city staff on what purchases are necessary over the coming years. And any land purchased by Metro would be owned by Metro, but maintained by the city. And the city would be responsible for trail design and trail construction. So I think it's a good partnership, and we have a history of working with the city bureaus, most recently on the Springwater Corridor and Three Bridges project, where Metro bond funds paid for right-of-way acquisition, and the city spearheaded all the funding to build the trail and to maintain the trails.
Thank you. Thanks, folks.
We have seven more to share their comments to testify. First, Scott Bricker, Keith Lydon, and Chris Hathaway. And they'll be followed by Alex Cousins, Don Back, and Lily Fitzpatrick.
Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Scott Bricker, and I'm with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, a lobbyist, City of Portland resident, bicyclist, walker. Happy to be here today. The organization, the BTA, that I work with represents has membership of 4,500 people, and we try and represent a much broader constituency. And I'm excited to be talking about trails today because it really talks about the intersection of constituencies. Trails are unique. There aren't too many places where you have recreation and transportation agencies working together, something that is fun but also does the job of getting you places, that improves your health, that also improves the economy, that improves the environment through making our land greener and also decreasing VMT emissions and all the other issues related to that. The Bicycle Transportation Alliance support this project, and our staff through the last couple of years have worked on a variety of segments of this, and so we're very excited. I do want to note that trails are really sort of the platinum facility. Their safety has been recognized as a top issue for increasing bicycling and walking. Off-street trails really provide the best facility possible. In places, I think trails need to be, we really have to look at what widths. Most of this is 12-foot width, and that's probably enough in this area. I know that some of the 12-foot width paths we have closer to downtown are already congested, so I think it's something to look at as we continue to develop our trails. But I think this trail plan called out the right widths. I just want to note, just to keep it brief, the issue of funding. I hope that the City of Portland, council members, and folks would advocate with Metro to talk about what projects they do fund with their trail acquisition, with their bond acquisition program. It's going to require us to actually stay on top of them to make sure that the trail right away are acquired, and we're working with that. But I think from the city standpoint, there aren't a lot of areas in that bond measure that are actually within the City of Portland. This is one of the opportunities, so we hope that there's a proactive role that the city can take in working with Metro. And that leads me to sort of a final budget or funding discussion, which is I just hope in the future the city will continue to fund these very popular, really top recreational programs of the city. Right now, I think the perspective is leverage as many state and federal sources as possible, and we think that that's a smart strategy, but we also hope moving forward that we can put as many local resources into creating this important transportation and recreation connection. So the BTA supports this plan, and thank you for all your work.
Hello, my name is Keith Lydon. I'm a longtime Southwest resident, and I'm also a member of the Portland Bike Advisory Committee, also in support of this plan. As you know, walking and bicycling in Southwest can be very challenging, not only because of the traffic and so forth, but also the terrain. And we have very few examples of low traffic routes that are also relatively level. I know that's not true for the entire trail, but much of this trail would be relatively level by Southwest standards. And it would provide a very good connection that would be appropriate for all age levels. So, for example, Multnomah Boulevard might be great for an experienced cyclist, but it's not something you'd want to have your grade school child trying to ride. I think another really good part about this proposal is that it can be built, as has been pointed out, incrementally. So you can just pick off pieces as the opportunities become available. And then finally, as has been mentioned, you'll have really a tremendous opportunity to leverage or take advantage of investments that are being made by other agencies. One example would be in the Shattuck Road, Alpen Rose area of Southwest. We really don't have a pedestrian and bike-friendly north-south connection of any sort. However, with Olson Road being improved, if that very western part of this trail that's in the city would be completed, you would have a connection to at least get over to Olson Road so that Portland residents could take advantage of that improvement that will run from Buter and Hillsdale Highway all the way to Washington Square. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chris Hathaway. I live in the Hayhurst neighborhood, close to the proposed eastern alignment of the Red Electric Trail. I'm here today to voice my support for the Red Electric Trail Planning Study. I was born in Portland and grew up on the Inner East Side, lived there almost my entire life until about 6 years ago when I moved to Southwest Portland. I'm in a house about equidistant from Hillsdale and Multnomah Village. I did this, of course, knowing full well that the area lacked adequate bike and pedestrian amenities. Even 20 years ago when I was a student at Grant High School, a popular cheer at the time when we were playing Wilson was, "We have sidewalks." "Yes, we do. We have sidewalks. How about you?" Clearly, sidewalks are not in the future for most of my neighborhood. However, that does not mean the city can't take proactive, positive steps that will improve pedestrian and bike mobility in Southwest Portland. The Red Electric Trail is a great opportunity to create safe, positive connections between schools, churches, the Hillsdale Commercial Center, places of work, and other trails that lead to regional attractions such as the Willamette River Greenway Trail. Safe walking and biking trails enable people to live healthier, more sustainable lives. In my neighborhood, they would help kids get to school safely without cars. And trails are a valuable amenity for any neighborhood. The National Park Service Rivers and Trails Program and other groups show that trails don't increase crime, but they actually increase property values. And in Southwest Portland, where the hills, lack of sidewalks, dead ends, and other obstacles make walking and biking difficult, multimodal trails are critically important. I support the route alignment outlined in the planning study, as well as the Southwest Slavin alternative route proposed by the Southwest Trails Group, who have done such a great job improving pedestrian access in Southwest Portland. And I appreciate the efforts and professionalism of park staff on this project and for the opportunity to express my support for the planning study to you today. Thanks.
Next are Alex Cousins, Don Back, and Lily Fitzpartner.
My name is Alex Cousins. I live at 5220 Southwest Shattuck Road, and I'm a resident of the Hayhurst neighborhood, and I also live close to the recommended route for the Red Electric Trail. I'm also an occasional bike commuter to my job in Southeast Portland, and I'm a regular user of the walking routes throughout Southwest Portland. I'm here today to offer my complete support for the Red Electric Trail study and the recommended route, and I will hope you will join me and the many residents of Southwest Portland who would like to see this proposal become a reality. Just as Southwest Portland is underserved by sidewalks compared to other parts of the city, so also are we underserved by adequate dedicated bicycle and pedestrian facilities, namely in the form of trails. Those trails that do exist, the Terwilliger, Markham, and Willamette Greenway, are located too far east or north to be convenient to the vast majority of Southwest Portland residents, and nor do they provide the much-needed east-west connectivity that the Red Electric Trail offers. Due to the topography and historical development patterns of Southwest Portland, it is unlikely that urban street standards of curb and sidewalks will ever fully develop in our part of the city, making the availability of dedicated trails, such as the Red Electric, even more important to Southwest residents. Off-street trail, shared road, and signing existing sidewalks are far less expensive than full street improvements that we will most likely never see happen. The recommended Red Electric Trail route is the best option to connect the Sano Creek Greenway Trail to the west with the Willamette Greenway Trail to the east. Linking up these popular recreational facilities will make our part of the city more walkable, bikeable, and livable. The route would provide connectivity to established recreation areas, provide safe routes to schools, offer Southwest Portland residents an alternate means to commute to work, and open up a large area of the city of Portland to a new means of recreation, exercise, and wildlife viewing. In closing, I'd like to commend the exemplary job done by park staff, particularly the work of Greg Everhart, in working with the community. The community engagement process was thorough, transparent, and inclusive. I can say this with some insight, being that I work for one of Portland's leading public involvement consulting firms. And no, Greg is not one of my clients. I participated in this process as a stakeholder, and I was impressed with how park staff went about meeting first with directly impacted property owners along potential alignments prior to opening up the process to the larger public. There were ample opportunities to provide feedback through site visits, small group meetings, open houses, online surveys, and a really good website. Park staff certainly did their job, and the result of this impressive work is reflected in the document before you today. Thank you for your support of the Red Electric Trail.
Hi, my name is Lily Fitzpatrick. I am a resident of Hayhurst Neighborhood Association. And first, I'd like to know what a street sweeper is. We don't have them in Southwest Portland. But as the chair of Hayhurst Neighborhood Association, I presided over several very contentious meetings regarding the Red Electric Trail. It's true there is some very vocal opposition to the trail in our neighborhood, but there is equal and maybe not as vocal strong support for the trail. I attended many public outreach meetings, including open houses and walking tours of the proposed route through the Hayhurst neighborhood. I've also read the report from top to bottom. In typical Portland style, Parks has beat this to death and then wrote an excellent report. They solicited input and gave many opportunities for everyone to give their piece on this trail, and they changed the plan accordingly. Greg and her team have done an amazing job. As a citizen member of the Traffic Safety Coordination Council and Safer Routes to School Tech, I believe the Red Electric Trail offers Southwest Portland unprecedented safe pedestrian and bicycle access to several schools, recreational facilities, and businesses. The Hillsdale Business District, the Hillsdale Farmers Market, Pendleton Park, Alpenrose, Gabriel Park, the Southwest Community Center, Wilson Pool, the Willamette Greenway, and George Heim Parks will be accessible directly from our front doors. The trail will provide a safe, and additionally, the trail will provide a safe exercise facility for the staff and the elderly residents and patients of Cedars-Sinai Park and Marquee Care Nursing Facilities, both located within Hayhurst. As a private citizen, not speaking as the Hayhurst Neighborhood Association chair, I live two blocks from where this trail will go through, and I am thrilled with the possibility of safe biking, running, and walking opportunities, something that I don't have to put the bike in the car and drive to. My sister and her family lived for a time in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and so I got a chance to ride the trails around Minneapolis and St. Paul, where they linked schools, parks, business districts, and neighborhoods. It was so much fun exploring those areas with my kids. It was safe for them to ride. Regarding the fear of increased vandalism and crime along the trail, I live on a street in Hayhurst designated as an alternative route to BH Highway for pedestrian and bicycles that was put on the widely distributed Southwest walking map. Since its release in 2003, I have seen no rise in crime, vandalism, auto traffic, or vagrants on my street. What I have seen is a marked increase in pedestrian and bicycle traffic. We enjoy the friendly interaction we have with people as we work in our yard or sit on our porch. I look forward to inviting people in our neighborhood. After all, these are not my streets, trees, parks, and schools. They are everyone's. We have a lovely neighborhood, and I look forward to sharing it. This trail will be a great asset to the metro area, and I hope you support it. Thank you.
Commissioners, Mayor Potter. After 10 years, we now have a trail in front of us to say hey, we can move forward with, which we're really pleased with. I want to commend Greg Everhart, Janet Bibb, and Courtney Duke, as particularly principals in doing this report. We strongly support what's being proposed. It's important that the alignment in the west of Hillsdale follow the Red Electric more or less, because the grades, if the alternative grades are really tough, and it would really discourage people using this trail. I do want to suggest one thing. The recommended route and alternative options should be evaluated for inclusion in transportation system plan. I would like to have you change that to shall be included. We don't need to go through another five-year process or arguments and, you know, going through all this. Let's get it in the plan, and then we'll work and, you know, move forward with getting it done rather than leaving it open and more debate. Well, we've had this now for 10 years. Let's go. We really support this. It's in the 10-year-old Hillsdale plan to have a connection from Bertha to Capitol Highway, including a bike garage that people could come in and ride their bike to that point, leave their bike, and not have to take it to their office downtown. Ride the bus downtown, come back, pick up their bike, and move on out to the neighborhoods. I think that really makes a lot of sense, and I think that's the kind of standard that we'd like to see, and we'd like to begin this right away. That's the first project we want to see, is that connection. We really, again, commend you for getting this done, and we want to move forward as soon as we can. The Slavin route is really important to Hillsdale, Southwest Trails, and South Burlingame, and as soon as this is adopted, there'll be some of us out there moving to clear the blackberries on that existing road, because it's basically now a homeless camp, and we'd like to reclaim it at least as a pedestrian trail immediately. Thank you.
And we have one more testifier, Paul Davids. And he's had to leave early.
Okay. It's a report. We need a motion to accept.
Move acceptance.
Second.
Let's call a vote.
Adams.
Well, congratulations to everybody. I want to thank my colleagues in PDOT for their great contribution, Courtney and others, to this project. I want to thank the advocates, Don, the Mr. Trails in the Southwest. Thanks for everything that you do on this cause, and the good folks at Parks, Greg and the entire team. Really appreciate your continuing good work. Very happy to have
I, too, am very happy to support this. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this has been a long time in the making, and a trail that runs east to west in southwest Portland is very necessary if we're serious about giving people options to get around. And I think this route that we're looking at with the options attached is really a good route. It's been well vetted with the public, as Lily Fitzpatrick said, beat to death. And I think we have a true gem. Now the next step remains to start piecing together the funding to make this a reality. But this is really great work. I will just testify personally. I worked with Don Bach about a year ago to put gravel on a little trail segment near my neighborhood from Southwest 5th to Twilliger Boulevard. And I am amazed already. Every weekend I see people, you know, with little backpacks kind of hiking up the hill. They're looking for that little trail part, and they're using it. And people in my neighborhood are using it, too. So people in this city and in Southwest are ready to walk and ready to bike. This is a great work. I want to particularly thank, again, Greg Everhart, Janet Bibb, Courtney Duke, and all the parks, transportation, and citizens that made this so. Aye.
Potter.
I want to thank Parks and PDOT and the citizens who are engaged in this. This is just an excellent piece of work. And Don, thank you for all the work that you do out in Southwest, too. We really appreciate you and all the good folks out there, what they do. And this is going to be a great addition to Southwest Portland. I vote aye. Move to the regular agenda. Please read item 545.
545. Tentatively uphold appeal of Elias Beatrice and George Beatrice, applicant, and overturn hearings officer's decision in part with conditions regarding a proposal to divide a 7.5-acre site into a 21-lot subdivision at 7615 Southeast 167th Avenue.
Council has before them findings. I need a motion to adopt the findings and uphold the appeal and overturn the hearings officer's decision in part with conditions.
I would make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 546.
Authorized contract with Dignity Village to manage transitional housing campground at Sunderland Yard.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Read item 547.
Accept bid of Dunn Construction, Inc. for the Northwest Gleason Street Sewer Replacement Project for $848,300.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer, the Director of the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a purchasing agent report requesting authority to execute a contract with Dunn Construction for the Northwest Gleason Street Sewer Replacement Project in the amount of $848,300. And just a couple of things to note that the Dunn Construction is in full compliance with our equal benefit requirements. They do have 4.4% of minority business enterprise subcontractor participation on this particular contract. So if I'll answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Thank you, Jeff. Did anybody sign up to testify on this matter?
No.
Okay, it's a report. I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Let's read item 548.
Vacate the west 2 feet of Southwest Bond Avenue between Southwest Curry and Gaines Streets and between vacated Southwest Lane Street and Southwest Lowell Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Commissioner Adams.
This is a good thing we should do it.
Any sign-up testimony?
No one signed up to testify.
Okay. It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read item 549.
Vacate a portion of Southwest Lowell Street between Southwest McAdam and Moody Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
This is also a really good thing.
And we did not have anyone sign up.
This is not emergency. Moves to a second reading. Item 550.
Provide grant to Miracles Club to secure real property.
Commissioner Zoll.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Last year, the council approved a grant of $500,000 for the Miracle Club to purchase a permanent home on Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. The Miracles Club provides services for recovering addicts and their families, including 12-step meetings, social gathering space, and weekly family nights where parents and their children get together, play, dance, and enjoy themselves in an atmosphere free of drugs and alcohol. Today, I'm pleased to let you know that Miracles Club has found property on Martin Luther King, which it intends to purchase and develop into a permanent home for its services, as well as drug and alcohol-free housing. Last week, Council approved creating a special appropriations account to prepare to assist Miracle Club in its dream of a new home. Before you today is an ordinance to authorize a grant agreement between the Miracles Club in order to release $50,000 of the $500,000 that Council approved. The initial $50,000 is necessary to secure the property Miracles has identified. I expect within the next few weeks that I will be bringing forward an additional grant agreement to release the remainder of these $500,000 in funds. So I urge approval.
Anybody signed up to testify?
I did not have a sheet out for this one.
Anybody here who wishes to testify on this matter? Okay, it's emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. My understanding that item 551, you wish to pull back to your office?
Yes. Does it need to be read?
I should. I believe I should read
it. Go ahead and read it.
551, authorize a contract and provide for payment for the construction of Portland International Raceway track repairs and improvements.
I would request that this item be referred back to my office.
Okay. So ordered. Read item 552.
Authorize the director of Portland Parks and Recreation to execute contract with Maplewood Elementary School Parent Teachers Association to transfer funds allocated through Parks Levy for play area.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This agreement passes Park Levy funds to the Maplewood PTA